Joined now in the studio by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, who's had an insanely busy week, and we'll have another busy week next week with a big meeting coming up for the Board of Aldermen. But thanks for being here today.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. It does seem like every spring, there's always a week or two in the spring and fall where just a lot of things fall, and I think we're right in the middle of that right
now.
Yeah,
well, we were talking about this the couple of days after UNC won the national championship, that every organization in town has so much planned for the spring, and everyone just sort of waits until after basketball season is officially wrapped up, just on the off chance UNC gets to the finals. So for the first few weeks in April, it's just this flood of events that could have been scheduled for March but weren't because we're waiting.
Right, and depending on when Easter falls, often that plays into it as well.
Yeah, and yeah, there's not a whole lot scheduled for this weekend because it's Easter. So last weekend and next weekend, I've got this stack of things that are happening. Like, well, you can't make all 20 of these, but here's what's happening if you want to. If you want to go. So I mentioned a meeting of the Board of Aldermen next week. We'll talk about food first and a couple of other items, but this week's meeting of the Board of Aldermen focused on tiny homes. So what was the discussion there?
Yeah, we had a work session this week where we actually had a couple of different items that we sat in small groups and talked about in more detail. And one of the topics was tiny homes. And this is an idea that, you know, we've just talked about generally over the last, I'd say, year and a half. What it would involve if we were to initiate kind of, you know, trying to have tiny homes in Carborough. You know, what would it mean in terms of our land use ordinance? What might it mean in terms of their comparison to, you know, say, accessory structures that may or may not be allowed right now in different parts of town? What kind of spots in town might be interesting for tiny homes, such as infill or, you know, larger lots that could be where you could site one of these homes, or even looking at areas where we currently have small little developments and perhaps putting tiny homes in there, you know, like maybe repurposing a trailer park or something like that. In general, it was just to kind of get some familiarity with the topic, and also to gauge the board members' interest in, do we want staff to continue to look into this a little bit? And I think the bottom line, and we've done, some of us have been on site visits to see some tiny homes around the area, and we know that the county also has been exploring this. And so I think the general consensus coming out of the kind of observations was, we're all generally interested in seeing how we might work to accommodate this.
Yeah, and it would be a pretty significant sort of add to an affordable housing policy or housing policy in general, and especially for, I think, Chapel Hill and Carborough, where there's not necessarily a whole lot of new land to develop into housing. This would be a great way to add more than you'd think.
It would be, and you know, one of the comments was certainly it's something we'd want to have a community conversation about, because we'd want to, you know, it wouldn't be like just one spot. It might be a zone, and so that means it might be a lot of places. But, you know, there were kind of two avenues that we thought might be useful for tiny homes. You know, number one is, you know, first of all, just to provide more housing for people who needed to have affordable housing. And then certainly number two is it's a source of income for long time homeowners, or, you know, people that want to, you know, right now they might be considering trying to add an accessory use to their house, you know, some type of an addition or a garage with an apartment over it, which under our code, it can be really hard to finagle. And we're looking at maybe does it make sense in a way to open up our code a little bit and to allow this new form of home ownership or home rental and stream of income? Does it make sense to offer it in a town like ours?
And I think, too, it just is sort of in keeping with Carborough's and Chapel Hill's sort of environmental values, because a tiny home is living simply, it's living green, and that's what we're all about.
Absolutely. The tinier the home, the less you have to buy.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, so what's next on that? Is it to just keep the conversation going in the community?
Yeah, I think there were some short-term steps, which were, you know, to ask, you know, staff to kind of look at, was there any low-hanging fruit with regard to this? You know, is there something that we could do right now and bring forward, or should we go ahead and start scheduling maybe this, you know, meeting of you know, a community kind of gauging community interest? I think long-term also we would want to talk to the county about, you know, whether there's some property, perhaps within our planning jurisdiction, but yet within the county, where we can maybe partner, possibly even use some of the affordable housing money, you know, maybe make it even really affordable housing, or, you know, perhaps even work with, you know, the partnership to end homelessness. So there's a lot of possibility there. And I don't think anyone was, you know, close to the idea.
I can tell you there's a lot of interest in the community about it, because this just reminded me that for the holiday season, there's the Hillsborough Holiday Parade and the Chapel Hill Carborough Holiday Parade. Last year, WCHL sort of teamed up with a tiny home company, and we had sort of one spot that we were together. So we've got the truck, we're pulling a tiny home behind it, and then Ron Stutz is standing in the back waving at people, and I'm walking along the side, and Art Chansky's there, and Nikki Morris and the whole WCHL crew, and we're waving and tossing candy at people, parade goers, and everyone is super excited, not because of us, but because, oh my God, there's a tiny house, look at the tiny house. We had like our WCHL stuff blazoned all over the side of it. No one is going to remember that we were there. It was the tiny house that everyone was excited about. So
I talked about, I can't remember what town it is, but there's some town that next weekend is having a tiny home festival. Mm-hmm. Now, what I think that is, you know, some manufacturers are bringing them in, and kind of, it might be more of a commercial type venture.
Like a parade of homes.
Parade of homes, exactly. But I do think, you know, one of the talks, you know, one of the, you know, items that we talked about was, when we're gauging community interest in this, maybe get a little tiny home, bring it to town, you know, commons, and have it right there where people can see it and see what it's about and all. You may be aware that one of our board members, I mean, Bethany Cheney, lives in a not as much, and it's a tiny home. It's not a tiny, tiny home, but it's a very small, efficient home. And, you know, I really do think that that's the kind of home a lot of folks in Carborough would be interested in.
Yeah. Speaking again with Carborough Mayor Lydia LaBelle, townofcarborough.org. If you want more information about town goings on, you can get the agenda for next week's Board of Aldermen meeting Tuesday night. It's already up there on the website. So yesterday, that was Tuesday's meeting. Yesterday, you were at an event that Carborough was doing in conjunction with a UNC student organization and also AT&T. This was at the FedEx Global Education Center. And I mentioned it as sort of a, hey, everyone, go out to this thing, but haven't gotten the report on what happened. It was an event on sort of student advising for first and second generation Latinos.
Yeah,
right?
This is what it was. So we have this NC Engine program, which was an RFP-type proposal that a consortium of towns and universities put out a few years ago, inviting providers of high-speed internet to work with us to be able to bring high-speed internet to all of our locations. Okay, and this is, and AT&T was actually awarded that. So and part of the reason, this is why, like, you know, we know we have Google coming, but we know we also have AT&T. So both internet providers, you know, we're working with them in different ways. But as part of this NC Engine project, AT&T has already, you know, been laying cable and fiber and all that and so forth in the towns, and is already providing, you know, one gigabit per second speed in, for example, you know, El Centro and the Century Center and different places in town. So this was an initiative that was a kind of collaborative between what's called SLI, the Scholar Latino Initiative at UNC, and NC Engine and AT&T. And so what we did was we had this kind of little demonstration. And I was at the UNC campus where I gave some remarks, and as well as other people did. And then our information technology director, Andy Vogel, was at the Century Center in Carborough, as were a few other students who kind of, you know, chimed in or whatever. They were all on the same website. And so we were at the FedEx building watching it up on the screen. And then you could see, it was like kind of like the Brady Bunch. And you could see all of them at their little, you know, desks talking and everything. And there was also this big screen about e-advising, you know, like, where have you applied? Where are you interested in going? You know, tell us a few words about how you feel about graduating from high school. Or, you know, anyway, it's this e-advising type initiative that SLI has set up to basically reach out to Latino students across North Carolina, but it's easier for them, for students to kind of be a part of this in a virtual way when they go somewhere like the Century Center where they have the stable internet connection, because they kind of basically have an advisor online telling them, here's what you got to do to go to college. And here's the cool thing, Aaron, it's not just to go to college at UNC, it's to go to college anywhere. So it's a way for Latino students who are often first generation college goers to really be able to talk to experts in this initiative from Carolina about, you know, what does it mean? What do I have to do in order to find out my opportunities, where I could maybe go, where I might be able to get scholarships, where I might find a good matchup for my my career needs and so forth. So it's really, really cool.
Really cool. So What's Carrboro's role in sort of facilitating that?
Yeah, I think our role in this was simply making the Century Center one of the hot spots, mm-hmm. one of the spots that's available where people know they can go and, chime in. You know, they can essentially probably schedule time to go in and be a part of this initiative. I think we're looking to do more collaboration of that sort with this asset we have now at several places in Carrboro, but for us most specifically, the Carrboro Century Center. I know we're looking into what's called having a virtual justice center at the Century Center, perhaps even eventually at the new library if it's built, maybe move it over there, but at least initially starting at the Century Center where we can offer a variety of kind of legal aid answering legal questions to people that want to come in and be part of the virtual justice project. And that's actually a collaboration between Carrboro and North Carolina Central University School of Law.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of opportunity.
So you're in the center of all of that.
Right? I'm involved on both ends. I must admit, my two technology directors are involved at each end. But you know, that's being done across the state right now. NCCU School of Law is through their virtual justice center. We actually are in all the legal aid offices across the state. And so now they're trying to work to be in all the libraries or community centers, as many as they can be across the state, to really offer virtual legal services to underrepresented populations.
That's really cool. So does it have to specifically be sort of a public building? I know there's the Century Center. There's eventually going to be a library/art center that's proposed for that spot by Open Eye and Glass Half Full. But what about Weaver Street Market?
Could I know AT&T agreed to 5 or 6 different spots in town. I can't remember all of them, but most of them have a nonprofit type base, like El Centro. Mm-hmm. As far as the initiative, and my understanding is that with AT&T's involvement, it's a little bit different if it's schools or libraries. It's a little different because of federal funding. The initiative from NCCU School of Law is specifically targeted toward libraries and toward community centers, although I do know that I've heard from them that even in some rural parts of the state, they've even partnered with some churches. So
very cool. Again, Carrboro Mayor Lodi LaBelle here. This was yesterday on campus was the event. And we got to wrap up here in a second, but I want to wrap up by mentioning that April is National Poetry Month, and you actually read not your own, but a poem that's actually quite well known from 2013 at this event. So I know you're pulling it up to read a little bit of it.
Yeah, it was. So one of the things that I do in April, whenever I make remarks, I try to incorporate poems into the remarks just kind of to recognize the month. But also it gets me out looking for poetry,
which
I really like.
Did you do the same thing in November for National Novel Month? Or?
Yeah, well, that's a little longer, right? But anyway, so what I did was I decided to read part of a poem by Richard Blanco. I chose a well-known Latino poet. Mm. And this is part of a poem that he read during President Obama's second inauguration. So I'll just read a couple of stanzas, if that's okay. All right, and so the name of the poem is One Today. One sun rose on us today, kindled over our shores, peeking over the Smokies, greeting the faces of the Great Lakes, spreading a simple truth across the Great Plains, then charging across the Rockies. One light, waking up rooftops, unique, under each one, a story told by our silent gestures, moving across windows. My face, your face, millions of faces in morning's mirrors, each one yawning to life, crescendoing into our day. Pencil yellow school buses, the rhythm of traffic lights, fruit stands, apples, limes, and oranges, arrayed like rainbows begging our praise. Silver trucks, heavy with oil or paper, bricks or milk, teeming over highways alongside us, on our way to clean tables, read ledgers, or save lives, to teach geometry or ring up groceries, as my mother did for 20 years, so I could write this poem for all of us today. All of us is vital as the one light we move through, the same light on blackboards with lessons for the day, equations to solve, history to question, or atoms imagined, the I have a dream, we all keep dreaming. And so I stopped it there, and I said, y'all got to look up the rest. I mean, it's just a fabulous
it's a really
poem.
Good.
And it kind of goes through this theme of, so it's called One Today, but throughout the poem I see one sun, one light, one ground, one wind, one sky, One Moon, One Country.
It's got a very kind of Whitman vibe to it, with the catalogs and trying to encompass this diversity within one thing.
Well, and I can understand his poems. You know, sometimes there's a poet and I read him like, what are you saying? But I've read several of his poems, and they really speak to me. And really, when I read this one, and it just kind of goes through this day of America, you know, how we're all one. And that was the theme of this poem. When I read it, I said, look, we're all one community. I'm so excited about this initiative, this collaborative that's reaching into a certain part of our community, but we're basically all one community looking out for each other. But I just really liked the thread of this, the way it went, and just all the little, you know, you saw the working class, you saw the professionals, you saw the students, you saw the parents. You know, it's really well written.
Nice. So, yeah. All right. So again, townofcarborough.org for more information about Carborough. If you're interested in National Poetry Month, Art Walk is tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. And we mentioned this, they're going to be doing poetry readings around those Flora Feedy messages, beginning at Open Eye right after 6, isn't it? I think is when it begins.
Yep.
Yeah. And then continuing down the street and into Chapel Hill until 9 o'clock, so head downtown for that. Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.